Hello everyone and welcome to Palmcast episode 15. You weren't expecting this one, but here we are. Most of our recordings are pretty much rehearsed and unplanned. Sometimes a few bullet points here and there, but this is going to be the best spur of the moment we're ever going to have. Welcome, Alex. Lead
the
way.
Thank you very much. Yes. Sit quiet, my children, for I have a tale of tales. I know this was unexpected. I know that I said that I wouldn't be recording in December. However, it has almost been a month since the last episode. Tuesday will mark a month, I think. And I've missed you guys a lot, and I needed to get back on track here. So I said to Alan a couple of days ago, let's get recording. Truly, I didn't really need to take a break from recording, but everyone was telling me, Alex, just take a break.
Yeah.
So I did. But before we get there, hey, let's roll all the way back to a time when life was simpler before Palm Saucer. So it's been, what, is it three weeks now since? Or 2 weeks?
Exactly 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Palm Saucer, yeah.
So 2 weeks. Wow. So you arrived in Toronto on the Wednesday.
Yes, November 28th, I came in.
And I called you pretty much shortly after you landed, because I'd already been on the road for about a day by that point. And I said, Alan, surprise, I'm going to be a day early. And you're like, oh, you know, so, and yeah, we kind of just, God, what time did I get there? It was about 6 or 7 o'clock. I think it was about seven.
Seven. All we did was unload all the boxes from your car. And then we just said, because we're early anyway, and we weren't expecting to do anything tonight, and we can work tomorrow, let's hit the bar. So,
yeah, is that what we did? Yeah, we did, didn't we? Because we went downstairs and we were, oh, that was the whole belly's gonna get,
It was.
Yeah, we can't bring
that's
that
a long
up.
Story.
Okay, yeah. Moving on. So, yeah, we pretty much did not, we didn't do a lot that night at all. Then the next day, Caitlin came in on a flight. For those of you who don't know Caitlin, she's a very dedicated volunteer who joined our team at Pomathon, who was an attendee at Pomtropolis. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the older episodes because we do not have time. So she came in on the Thursday, then Mo came in on the Friday, and then the rest of the riffraff came in on the Saturday.
And Nikki was Friday as well.
Nikki on the Friday too? Oh, wait, we didn't see. Yes, we did see her. It was just later in the day. Sorry, yeah. Nikki. Sorry, Nikki.
You're not the riffraff. No one's riffraff, but you know what we mean. And and then the great thing is we had a lot of our work set up and finished by the Friday. We did a lot of it on Thursday.
We were very ahead, extremely ahead. In fact, I think it was either Friday night. I think it was Friday night that I stayed up very late playing Mario Kart and getting drunk. So it was obviously, we were obviously in our prime by that point.
Yeah, it was. We all shared deep, intimate stories on Friday. We all went out
for a steak, apart from yourself. And then Mo said, oh, you know, I'll just have a glass of rum before I go. I was like, okay, come on in anyway. And he drank, well, he didn't drink it by himself. We completely devoured the whole bottle. Oh, I say that nicely, don't I? Bottle. It's very British. Bottle.
Very nice.
Yes.
Can't compete. I cannot compete with that.
Can you tell this is an evening recording? It's a lot more intimate. Bottle. So anyway, I haven't drank today, I swear. We just kind of shared stories which are not, they're just not, then don't care how behind the scenes, never. Yeah. But it was wonderful. And then Saturday rolled along and we saw everyone downstairs at the bar, which was nice. Everyone was touching you up. I think you enjoyed it on many levels.
On the night we wanted to reenact there.
Yes, the carry on the hoodie thing. Oh, and by the way, hoodies are definitely ordered. Hoodies are definitely already been delivered and hoodies will be available at the Wee Palm.
But what will people covet? What will I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, my role is just diminishing as we go along with these events.
I feel your pain. So then the day came itself, and I don't know how much detail you want to go into, but it was pretty bloody phenomenal. It was, you know, and I think you and I had both shared some concerns with going back to Toronto. Toronto has always been a harder sell. There's a lot of conventions in Toronto, and, you know, we have to work a little bit harder to get the numbers in there. but everyone mm-hmm. looked like they really enjoyed themselves.
It did. And it's just to go on about that, then the biggest difficulty we face is that we find there's quite a surge of ticket sales towards the end, but by that point, you can't, you know, accommodate
there's only so much you can do. Yeah, exactly. There's only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was a very smooth morning. We had some issues with the sound system before anyone even arrived, which was resolved pretty quickly.
And I should add to some people who might have been in the room with the lights of our Chocolinas and our Walkers, the lights went out very temporarily. That was just somebody hitting switches in another room.
That was me.
That was Alex.
Sorry.
Otherwise, it was all good.
Well, I was testing the lights. I wanted to try and get it right. I wanted to make sure that, you know, we had good lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that when the guests were coming in, it looked faded and just on the stage and whatnot. And I didn't realize that the switches was controlling the other side of the partition. So my apologies.
Oh, it's fine.
I bet you were stood there like, oh, shit.
Because there was the odd flicker or two. I was saying to myself, okay, keep an eye on that. Find a staff and just let them know about it. And then it just went off completely. And I was like, ah, hang on tight. One guy's like, straight out the door. And I think I saw Nat, someone. I just said, hotel staff, Alex, find anyone. Lights are off. And I was just going over to people who had walked in and just explained, we have the lights back on any moment. Apologies and all that jazz. And they did come back on, went off again, back on. It was sorted. It was fine. But no, it was funny more than anything.
I really didn't realize. But anyway, thankfully we worked that one out. I had a really smooth morning. I believe that Nikki went up to Nat at some point because Nat was in on the morning flight, right? She'd only got there at like, what, 7:30, 8:30. And she walked in, got on with it. God bless her. Just dug in.
Yeah.
And I completely lost my train of thought. This is what happens when you record it at 9
Nikki,
o'clock at night. Nikki went up and said, oh God, you know, Alex has been really calm and collected today. He hasn't yelled at anyone. And I was like, oh, thanks, Nikki. Thank you, you bitch. Thank you. No, I was very calm and collected. I was very relaxed. And I even said to you on a couple of occasions, I'm feeling, you know, very, very chilled. Maybe we've just reached a plateau now.
Hmm.
The day event was good. We fell behind schedule a few times, nothing to do with us. Can we just move to the closing ceremony? I'm going to touch on the kazoos because they were cool, but because we're going to be using it at the WePom too, I don't want to talk about it too much. Yeah. But we've got to talk about the closing ceremony.
Just say to people, if you get a kazoo, get one.
Yeah, I don't want to touch too much on the content of the event because there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff we'll be reusing because the events are so close together.
But just get one.
But yeah, let's talk about the closing. Wonderful cosplays as usual, stunning, and the Mumba. I said to the guy, I forget his name now.
It's Joel Christensen.
Okay,
yeah.
Joel, I'm terrible with names, my apologies. And I said to him, he looked a bit shook up and he's like, oh yeah, I think he'd asked his mother to do something with the eyes and she'd sewn them wrong or something along those lines. And he was going to leave it.
Hmm.
And I said, no, you're not. Go upstairs, get dressed. You've still got time. You can still make the cosplay parade for the opening ceremony. Mm. So off he went and boom, he won the nobleman. So you're welcome. And that was wonderful. And then we had the Kefka cosplayer that won the staff selection.
Yes.
Which we now call the Dress Fear Award.
Mm-hmm.
And then brings us to two unexpected awards that just appeared out of nowhere. I'm wondering who spearheaded that. I'm assuming it was White Mage Wonders.
As far as I'm aware, it was.
Well, thank you.
She did mention something in the evening beforehand about doing something. But what I didn't realize is how many people were in on it because it was one of our volunteers, Nell, who had asked for the microphone at that point and presented it. So I was like,
yeah. And then came the whopper.
Yeah.
We had known for some time that we were giving it to Mo, the Warrior of Light. And, you know, we'd considered doing it at Glasgow, but it would be too obvious. So we decided, no, Toronto's the one we want to give it to, and to give it to him. And we didn't really know how he would react, but I said to you that if I can't bring him to tears, then we've done something wrong.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember saying, if he didn't cry, I'd stamp on his bloody foot until he did cry.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I'd say. About. Yeah, exactly. And I remember there was a moment when it said something, you know, he's supporting his family back home. And he writes these words of thing just that pushes our very imagination or something along those lines. And I remember it was at that moment he just bowed his head and put his hand to his face. And I was like, I got you, you bastard. And and from there, it was, for me, I think it was the most moving one I've presented yet.
I think.
I didn't move on the other ones, but for me, I don't know why. It was just this really, I guess it was because we've been spending so much time with Mo these past couple of days before that. Mm-hmm. And to just present that was just, oh.
I think we knew as well. One extra thing is that Mo mentioned later that he never thought he'd get something like that because he contributed stuff to the event, but obviously naturally he still can. It's a different kind of setup. So we kind of knew that he was not expecting it. And I think we had such a great angle of seeing his head drop at that moment. It's almost like just a view of it all, you know? And again, what I think it comes down to the lines as well, because I remember mentioning this to you when I first heard the recording, that bringing up the supporting his family back home and writing and all, I knew that was going to be the moment. And I think because of that, and having just been presented with awards earlier as well, and everything we mentioned, and you calling me out on stage like that in a good way too, I think that was probably the most I got teary-eyed these presentations, I think. Probably was.
Well, yeah, I know that I got quite teary before that because I had announced, and you know, this has been shared publicly now, that a couple months ago you had considered stepping down, and I decided that was a thing of the moment. You should know that I didn't plan that at all. Oh, yeah. It was just something that came out, and then I got quite teary myself, and basically said that I couldn't do it without you, and I stand by that. I couldn't. And then I just felt the emotions run, and then with Mo, and it was just everything just flowed beautifully.
I would love to return the sentiment and say I couldn't do it without you, but that's kind of a given. So,
well, I mean, it's a hell of a challenge. And then, you know, after the closing ceremony, we spoke to so many people. That was nice. And then came the evening. Now the evenings are funny, see, because you ask yourself, oh, you know, you can't top Mind the Pom. You can't top Pommingham Palace. Yeah, well, you definitely can't top Pomathon. Well, we might have, because every evening event has its own flavor. And I think the flavor of Pom Saucer was everyone's going to get shit-faced. It was the flavor of Pom Saucer. I was very drunk. And you know what? It wasn't that I was necessarily very drunk. It was the fact that I, for the first time at a KoopaCon, I really let myself go. Like I just didn't care.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
I just, I was walking around with my Kate Sith tail, kindly donated by Caitlin. I say donated, I didn't really give her much of a choice. And, you know, that poor tail, it's seen so much abuse. I was like waving it in people's faces, doing things that I can't even talk about. There's videos in the community group that actually make my tummy turn. I went for it. I completely let go. How was the evening for you?
Well, I think it was, as you say, it was probably the most loose of evening events. There was no particularly strict schedule of things we were doing. We just kind of brought everything as it went along.
Yeah,
I feel like people liked that because I think a lot of people felt comfortable to go like right up to the stage or just kind of jump in themselves and do things. Because I saw there was no sense of separation or division whatsoever between everyone. You got Lenny Liam Mulvey leading the conga
yeah
up the escalator into the hotel lobby.
Yeah.
And back down.
Well, I remember I was right behind him. I was like, Liam, you can't take it up the escalator. And then as he was heading for it, I was like, go on then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then chocobo racing was quite a...
The less said about that, the better. That it was a huge amount of fun. I cheated loads, and so did Mo. Mo was trying to knock my legs out with a spoon, but the less said about that. We'll probably do that at the Weep Home too, I think.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful experience. And seeing we're like 15 minutes into it now, I can't really deny. The problem is that when you let go so much... and then I went to bed. It was probably around, that must have been 1, 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
From the minute my head hit the pillow, I felt a sudden drain. I can't even really describe it. It was like, it was probably just an energy drain. You know what it's like. I mean,
mm-hmm.
been at it all day.
Totally.
But the next morning, I was destroyed. I was exhausted. Do you remember what time you got up?
Let's see.
We got up fairly early because we all went for breakfast.
We did. I got up around the 8 o'clock mark, I'd say, and I went to bed after 4 a.m. Mm,
wow.
Mm.
Who did you stay up with?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, come on.
Patron exclusive $100 months.
Who was it? Mo? Were you up with Mo or?
No.
Who were you up with?
I was just up in general.
What? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You must have been up with someone.
No.
Oh, this is getting interesting.
Was I?
Anyway,
no, wait.
Well, here is me just going to spend this whole episode talking about me, but let's talk about you.
No, I don't.
So yeah, we went for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if I'm truthfully honest, that's when my Kupo come down began mm-hmm. to kick in, and I'm not going to beat around the bush. I mean, this is the purpose of the podcast. I'm going to be truthfully honest, because I think that there's probably a lot of people out there who may feel the same way after a KupaCon, so I don't see any reason why I should lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
I distinctly remember, I think you were there actually, you were sat across from me. I was sat with yourself, Mo, and Amy Wilson.
Yes.
Who is the Warrior of Light from Pomtropolis.
Yep.
And I was away in my own world, and she said to me, she looked at me and she said, are you all right? And I went, yeah. She went, and I'm pretty sure she said, you look really sad.
Yeah, I think that was word for word.
And it was something inside me at that point said, because I said it to you afterwards, I took you and Mo to one side, didn't I? And I said, when the Warrior of Light knows that you're affected, mm-hmm. you know you've picked the right person for the award.
Gotcha.
And then I remember that we said goodbye to Nikki and we said goodbye to Caitlin. And they went on their merry way. And at that point, I don't know what happened, but I literally lost the will to live. I felt like... I can't even describe it. I felt like the entire floor beneath me was just vanishing.
Yeah. And it's like, even though you know you're going to see these people like next month or so, there's something about the whole experience and just the whole setup of that moment that you just say, why now?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel with KupaCon, we do spend a good bit of time with each other beforehand, but it's a lot of business relations kind of going on in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is almost a time for us to kind of just appreciate all the company we have at that moment.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I felt like that Pom Saucer was the first time that we'd all really bonded. Like I know that we've bonded before, and we all, you know, I mean, me and you bondage, but no,
I'm not even laughing, it's true.
Yeah. But like there was something really special about this one, and I felt like we were all so interconnected, and then I just felt like we'd all been ripped away from each other.
Yeah.
And I remember the drive home, I was pretty fine, and as soon as I walked in the door, I was like, God, it's so wonderful to be home. But every minute that passed, I felt worse and worse. It was the worst I felt in years. I'd say it was the worst I felt in almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt really bloody depressed. And I remember telling you, and this is the first time I've ever said this to you, I think ever, where I've said, I think I've got to take a break. I think I've got to take a step down here and just back the hell off.
Because I do recall you had mentioned taking breaks in the past, yet they were kind of more like, I'll just take it a day off almost. And it was more like, it was never from a, let's say, an emotional, mental perspective almost. It's just more like, I need to recuperate. My energy was a great time. You feel fine. You just need to take a moment. But now this was totally different.
Yeah. So I felt very, very weak, very poor. I was sleeping a lot or trying to and failing. I actually had a few other issues. I hadn't even told you this, but I'm not a very big person as it is. Since coming back from Pom Sorcerer, I'd lost about 10 pounds, which is quite a lot for me. Which is very unusual. I was like, well, damn, my weight's gone through the floor and I wasn't sleeping good. I've been grinding my teeth at night, which has been giving me jaw pain, which is usually a sign of stress.
Yeah.
I just generally had been really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, shit, you know, like this is one hell of a Kupo come down. Mm-hmm. So in the last couple weeks, it's not even been that long. In the last couple of days, the last 8 days, I've basically reconditioned myself and said, you know what, get a grip. But it's made me realize that I am not invincible. I cannot do everything. And people were telling me, you know, oh, it's because you're working too hard. It's because you're pushing yourself too hard. And I truly don't think that's what did it. I think it's because I felt like my connection with people had been severed. I did not feel overworked. I was not exhausted from the work. I mean, it was KupaCon. I was knackered, but I felt severed from the people I really care about. And that's not to say I don't care about Nat or the kids, because obviously they're my world. Mm. Ultimately, as stupid as it sounds, you care about these people and then you're going to miss them. And then there's the whole event side of things. And that sensation of being part of this gigantic family, and then it's all gone. And then you're like, whoa, you know?
Mm.
I wrote in the group, the original message I wrote in the group actually was a lot more intense. I scaled it back a few times. And then after that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to take a step back from Pumpcast. I'm going to postpone KupoCast. But I've been working on the WePom behind the scenes, as you know, pretty much from the minute I got home.
Yep.
I learned something. I did learn something from Pump Sorcerer. And I've told you this before. And the thing that I learned was self-preservation.
Yep.
I need to remember that I have to take care of myself as well. So recently I've really taken some very strong steps to kind of level myself, daily exercise, better diet, and just generally, well, you know, looking after number one, which sounds stupid. I know this is just an event. I know it doesn't make any sense and there's bigger problems in the world and whatever, but at that precise moment in time, it really did affect me. And I've got the balls to tell you, but I'm fine. I'm good. I mean,
Well, look, you say there are bigger things in the world, which is always true, but one of the biggest things in your world at that moment is that, you know, so it's just as valid, you know?
Yeah. It was like this gut wrenching pain. Like it was horrid. And me and you, we know each other really well now. It's probably the first time I probably come off to you as a bit desperate. You know, I was falling apart. Which is quite rare for me, to be honest with you.
But, you know, like I can empathize in ways from different directions. I felt the same with Pomathon for a while.
You did. I remember. I'm not sure if we spoke about it in a previous episode, but you did come down pretty damn hard.
I did. And it doesn't, I think like with you, it's not just event. There's other things relating to the event and other things that it just builds up like that. It can be, and it's hard because as a KupaCon is pretty much for us, like all positives, but there's always just so much going on at once that you can't help but feel like especially when it's over, to be overwhelmed by everything, because it's such a huge high that happens and then it's just suddenly boom, because I know myself when I touch down and, you know, go to customs, out the door, on a bus, walk to my house, you know, nothing had changed. And it just felt like, had I even left, you know, and I just walked in. Because, you know, this, like the event last year with Pontario, I started my night shifts at work same day.
I remember.
So, yes, and it's even worse this time because I got home, went to bed by about 1 o'clock or so. I had to get up at about 5 o'clock to start my shift then. So I didn't, I think like last year, it's actually hard for me to process everything that happened because I'm straight into work and there's just no stopping at that point. So so I'm kind of lucky, if anything, that I had like my time, I guess, at Pomathon rather than this, you know what I mean? So I think...
Well, you know, I'll say this. I found this transition to be very healthy in the end. I've realized that I need to take better care of myself, that I am not invincible, that my heart is still in the right place, and that everything I do is for a reason, and these things can only make me stronger.
Yeah.
Nobody did anything wrong at Palm Saucer. Palm Saucer just basically made me realize exactly how important KubaCon is to me. And and truly, it is so important to me. It is not just an event. It is like my third child. And I will cherish it and nurture it and look after it as long as I physically can do so. And for the first time ever in the entire journey of KubaCon, I questioned whether or not I could see the end of the line. And I even told you that, you know, I said, I think I might call it a day at some point. I even thought about not going to Glasgow and just like passing the baton on. And then I was like, no, you know, it was just it was a moment of weakness and stupidity. But I just want folks to know that, you know, that even we feel the Kubo come down, so to speak. You felt it heavily at Pomathon, and I train wrecked it through Palm Saucer. And I don't think it makes us any weaker as a as an individual or as a bromance or as a community. I think it does is makes us stronger. Because
it reinforces things afterwards.
Because it reminds us exactly what we have. And I really don't know how to express how much it means to me to have someone like you in my life that I can talk freely to and just, you know, blurt whatever I think about. And there's so many other people that I've built relationships with in KubaCon that means so fucking much to me that I just, it's just, I have no words.
Yeah. I mean, again, like when we always talk about our event kind of different from a lot of typical conventions, I think what that emphasizes a lot after everything was said is that with us ourselves are as much part of the event as everyone who walks through the door. You know, and that's what we experience in this way as well. And if anything, I find being in the position we're in, we get to, as I say, we make a lot of connections and meet a lot of people. And so you leave so much at once every time.
Like some of the relationships that have come from, it's really hard to put into words, but the relationships that have been forged are just, you know, life changing. And, you know, I'm obviously talking about yourself in one of those aspects. And it's incredible. It really is. So, you know, I do apologize for falling a tad off the grid. I have been working diligently behind the scenes, but I guess even the great King Mog will fall from his perch every now and again. But it's very, maybe humbling is the correct word.
I see what you mean.
It's, I'm really looking forward to the Wee Pom now. I'm looking forward to just standing there and taking it all in.
I think it's quite similar after Pomathon, coming into the next event after that, you know, that fresh reinforcement, let's call it, gives you a different outlook of the experience. And you'll probably feel that too.
This was a deep episode. Hopefully not too deep. Hopefully we didn't freak you guys out. But I think it's important that people know. I mean, if you're paying to just hear behind the scenes, you probably care about KubeCon on some level. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you guys really understand how much we care. And sometimes that caring can break us.
Yeah.
But I believe it's all worth it. And I say this, you know, I say this very firmly, that KubeCon has opened my eyes to the world very much. And I would not want my eyes to be shut again.
Mm-hmm.
May we forever go forward and see what we're able to produce, because, you know, it's just for those moments like giving Mo the award, and when people come up to you and say, you know how important this was to me, you know, how much of an impact this had on me. And yeah. I don't know what I'm saying now. Whatever. It's 20 past 9 at night. I'm rambling, but TDLR, I think is how, is that right? TDLR?
TLDR.
TLDR. Yeah. See, I screwed that up. What does that even stand for?
Too long, didn't read.
Oh.
Very rude.
You just enlightened me, because I didn't know that. TLDR. I fell off perch. I'm fine. KubeCon rocks. I love Alan.
I picked you out of, oh, well, you know. I guess the sentiments are reciprocal.
Ah, that makes a change.
A change. We've had some very intimate talks over Palm Saucer. People should notice. They will not know the content.
It's all good times. No, we had a good time. Mm-hmm. No, but seriously, what a wonderful journey. And I'm really looking forward to the WePOM.
Yeah. It's actually, as I'm looking at the time here, like, as you said, 20 past 9 for you, 20 past 1 for me, 16th of December right now.
Mm.
And I'm looking, that's exceedingly close.
You think you got it bad? I got a KubeCast tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if anyone can hear doo-loo, 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 then it's because my iPad's going off, because the WePOM staff messenger group just won't shut up right now. So maybe on that note, we should call it a day. So hopefully I haven't depressed everyone, but yeah, my bad.
No, I'm okay, thanks.
Okay.
I missed you. Anyhow, I think that's a wrap for that one.
That was a heavy one. Sorry.
Nice surprise, everyone.
No, I think it's important, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I do agree.
Maybe I'll listen back and cut half of this shit out. We'll see.
That's fair. No, it'll be fine.
Seeing I rambled on for this one, I guess it's my job to close it up.
You go ahead.
Thank you very much for joining us on this journey. Who knows where we may end up next. But on behalf of myself and Alan, thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon. And we look forward to bringing you another episode and enlightening your life again very soon.
Yep. Next time we speak, it'll be after Christmas. So in the meantime, have a wonderful holiday season to everyone.
Yes.
And we will talk to you next time.
Happy holidays.
Until then, everyone. Bye-bye.